All right. 1 Kings chapter 17, a continuation of what I talked about on Wednesday, because I was doing the study in Elijah. And on Wednesday, we talked about the background of what was going on in Israel and in Judah back in those days. Wicked times, especially in Israel. Judah was better, at least while Asa was king, but very wicked times. And Elijah, he was in the northern kingdom in Israel. He was from Gilead. And we picked up the story right in verse 1, where Elijah says to Ahab, he says, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." He steps onto the scene. He makes this bold statement. Just says, "Elijah, there's not going to be rain. Surely as God lives in heaven, there's not going to be rain until I say so." That's basically what he's saying. And we looked back at James and how there was a lot going on behind the scenes, how he prayed earnestly that it would not rain for 3 years. And we talked about that. Well, today, I'd like to look at how God provided for Elijah, how God provided for Elijah and also the widow woman. And we're in chapter 17. Look at verse 2. So he just made this proclamation, it's not going to rain for 3 years, which means you won't have food after a very short time. And so, in verse 2 it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So, we're familiar with the story. But for a second, think about this. Don't just say, "Oh, yes, Elijah was fed by ravens and he drank by the brook." Think about that for a moment. Here, God gives him a command and he gives him a promise. Here's the command. "Get thee hence," so go away, "turn thee eastward," all right, so which way is eastward? It's toward the Jordan. "And I want you to go that way and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." So I want you to get over there. Makes sense. You're going to have a famine, so you want to get to some water. God gave a clear command, didn't he? A lot of times, I don't know about you, sometimes I look through God's word with, kind of like what Pastor was talking about this morning, gray-colored glasses. We look at God's word and we say, "Well, you know, God maybe meant that, but maybe he meant this." Or a lot of times we kind of get into the conjecture of, what did God really say? We become unsure about things that we become a mess. It's like, "Well, should I, does God say I need to come to church? Or is that just kind of a, well, I shouldn't leave church. As long as I don't leave church, it's okay. But I can miss a Sunday here or there. Does it mean I need to always be?" We get in the gray area that we feel like, "Oh, what is God's word saying?" You know, there are things we don't know. We don't know everything. That's true. But God gives us clear commands. Are you, am I, doing everything that I know I'm supposed to be doing? Am I obeying the clear commands of Scripture? Am I doing right now what I know is right? By the way, the Lord will show us and teach us the gray areas that we call gray areas. They're not gray in God's sight, as Pastor said. But are we doing what we know is right now? Well, Elijah got a clear command. He says, "Go east, go by the brook Cherith. That's what I want you to do." And here's the promise that he gave him. It says, "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook." And he tells him, "I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." This is the promise. You'll have food and you'll have water there. You'll have the brook and I've commanded the ravens. They'll come and feed you. So he gave him a clear command. And here he gives him a clear promise. And I think about promises. It's important, obviously, that we don't take promises out of context, right? You know, the name it and claim it. And you know what? The Bible says, if I just pray, I'll have whatever I pray for, right? So we take a context, we take the context out, and we make up something. So it's important we don't take the promises out of context, and it's important we meet the qualifications of the promises. A lot of times they're conditional. But while that being said, we should cling to the promises of God. Cling to them. There's so many there that we can just take and say, yes, this is true no matter what. Like, if you seek first the kingdom of God, he will supply your needs, right? That's a promise. You can bank on it. You don't have to guess. You don't have to say, well, sometimes. Depends on where you live. If you live up in the north and you have to if you have to pay for oil, then you might have to do something else, and the Lord might help you. We don't know. If you trust the Lord, and if you are seeking his kingdom, you're serving the Lord, walking with the Lord, Jesus says that he will supply all your needs. So we can take those promises to the bank. We can rely on those. Something else, if you pray with a clean heart, the Bible says God will answer your prayer. Doesn't mean he's going to give it to you, but he'll answer your prayer. It may be yes, maybe no, maybe wait, but he will answer your prayer. We were talking about in Sunday school, 2 Samuel chapter 22 is David's song of deliverance that he prays to the Lord after he was delivered from the hand of Saul and from all his enemies. It's parallel with Psalm 18. And in it he says, I cried unto the Lord, and my prayer, it went into the temple of the living God, was the idea. It went into the ears of God. And it's a wonderful thought to think about your prayer, my prayer, going into the ears of Almighty God and he hearing the words that I'm saying. But that's a fact that God says, if we pray with a clean heart, he will hear. If you need wisdom and you ask in faith, what does he say? He will give you wisdom. If you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. If you are merciful, God will be merciful to you. If you are humble, God will lift you up in due season. The list could go on and on. Cling to the promises of God, right? And Elijah could do the same, and that's what he did. Elijah obeyed. Look at verse 5. It says, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. So he obeys. And guess what happens? The suspense. What is going to happen? Oh, we already know, right? The Lord provides. The Lord delivers on his promises as he always does. Verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. So it brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. So the Lord kept his promise. Think about that, though. Bread and flesh from ravens, a bird coming to feed you. That would be, I don't know. I'm a little picky when it comes to, you know, I don't like to eat meat off the bone kind of thing. I know I'm a sissy, but I guess I'd do it if I was hungry, but it would be kind of hard to think about, you know. But, you know, that was the Lord's provision for Elijah, wasn't it? It was God's provision. Sometimes God supplies our needs in different ways than we would have thought, right? It's like, I wouldn't have thought, you know, I think he should, somebody should give me money in the mail, and that's how God's going to supply my need. Or maybe he just makes your oil last longer than you think it might, or whatever. Your car lasts longer than you think it would, or your tires. You don't need to change your tires as often as perhaps you would have. God sometimes does it in different ways. Sometimes God supplies in perhaps less than desirable ways, you know. It's like, ooh, I don't like this food that somebody gave me for free. But it's God's provision. And we should never complain for the provision God gives, even if the ravens come to feed us. We shouldn't complain. And it was God's provision for Elijah here. Now, what if Elijah didn't obey? What if he said, you know what? No thanks. I'm not going to do that. And he didn't obey. What would happen? Would he enjoy the benefits? No, of course not. He wouldn't receive the promise. It was conditional. But the truth is, we should not expect the rewards of faith without the fruit of faith. What's the fruit of faith? Obedience. We shouldn't expect all the benefits of faith if we're not willing to obey the Lord. The Bible teaches us. Do you long for the rewards of faith? Do you want the rewards of faith? What do you mean, the rewards of faith? To see the works of the Lord, you know, to see God do something. Wow, answer a prayer. Work in somebody's heart. Do something great. Do you long to see that? Do you want to have answers to prayers? Do you enjoy the closeness? You know, you want to enjoy the closeness to God. You want to know that you're in God's will and that he's blessing you. If you want that, if I want that, if I want to enjoy the benefits of faith, I have to have the fruit of faith, which is obedience. I have to obey. Otherwise, I can't receive that. And I heard this once from an evangelist. Full surrender to the Lord is, it's willing to do anything. We get that, willing to do anything. But it's also obeying in everything. Sometimes, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. And then when he tells us to do something, it's like, well, I don't know if I want to do that. It's both. So you have a willing heart, and but you've got to follow through, be obedient in everything. And Elijah here was surrendered to the Lord. He obeyed, and God delivered on his promise. And we find in verse 7, there's a change in circumstance. It came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Well, don't you figure that would happen, right? Sounds like bad planning to me. You know what? You just said it wasn't going to rain, and then you go rely on something that needs rain. Doesn't sound real smart to me. Looks like bad planning. But it isn't, right? The world might say, you're foolish. That was dumb. Shouldn't have been relying on the brook. You knew it wasn't going to rain. Or they might say, you know, that didn't work, did it? They would downplay that. But, you know, God uses times maybe that seem a little crazy to us. You know, times in our life, it's like, oh, everything's crazy. It didn't work out like I thought it was going to work out. You have problems in your life. It's not, everything's not smooth where you have everything together. I found out life's not like that, especially if you have kids. And but God is so wise, and he doesn't need men's approval of his actions. People might look at your life and say, wow, you're just so foolish to do that and to live your life this way. When you're living your life according to God's word, you're trusting him and you're following him. And sometimes he leads us in places that might be temporary, like it was here. And it might not seem conventional, like it was here, not conventional. But we can trust him in the times where we're disoriented or passing through life stages. You know, we're not settled anywhere. We can trust the Lord for that. Perhaps it's for our learning, right? Oftentimes that's the reason it is. Perhaps that's what this time was for Elijah, to learn dependence on the Lord. He was a man, he was subject to like passions as we are, James says. So maybe he was learning to depend on the Lord in a deeper way through this time. There's a change in the circumstances. You know, why didn't God just keep the brook dry? You remember the story, the next part of the story, how the woman's, the widow woman's meal and oil, it lasted and kept lasting. God did that. Well, why couldn't he just do it with the brook? Why couldn't he just do it with the ravens? He could have. He could have, couldn't he? Right? But, you know, God doesn't always do what he can do or what he could do. He has reasons, and he's going to use Elijah elsewhere. He's going to show his power over in another country, in Zidon. He is going to do something great, and he's showing Elijah, he's teaching Elijah to just wait on him step by step. God has a reason for these things. And you say, well, the Lord could have done this. Why didn't he do it? Yes, he could have done it, but he has a reason. We can learn to trust him, and that's what Elijah had to do, learn to trust him through this changing circumstance. And we see in this next few verses that God's going to provide in Zidon. You remember where Zidon is? It's north of Israel. It's on the coast on the Mediterranean Sea. Zidon is called, or Zidon with a Z as it is here. And it was a trade city. And here, let's read verse 8. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, this is to Elijah, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. So the Lord directs Elijah. The word of the Lord came unto him just in time. The water dried up, and then the Lord said, okay, I have something else for you. Sometimes the Lord doesn't tell us right away, does he? Doesn't say, you know, Nate, in 5 years you're going to be here, and after that you'll do this and this and this, and have my life all planned out for me. A lot of times the Lord just does step by step, doesn't he? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow, necessarily. I mean, I know what I'm doing, but you get the idea. I don't know what I'm doing next year. I have plans and thoughts in my mind that, you know, I'm going to work here. I'm going to do this here. But, you know, the Lord changes plans, and the Lord guides along the way. And what does the Bible teach us about these things? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know it. You've got it memorized. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Right? What does he say in Psalm 32, 8? I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way in which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. Again, these are promises. Do we believe it? The Lord directed Elijah right when he needed to be directed. Maybe Elijah felt like he needed to be directed before that. But God knew when he really needed the direction. Sometimes we don't have the direction when we want it, but the Lord can be trusted for the timing of when he tells us what we need to do, when we need to change, what needs to happen. He's never late. And Elijah, faithful servant, he obeys. And verse 10, it says, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Okay, so Elijah, he's entering into the city. And when he came to the gate of the city, he saw this woman gathering sticks. Now, God had told him that he would find a widow woman in Zarephath. So, he sees a woman. How does he know that this is the right woman? Now, if Elijah could have thought, is this really the right woman? You know, maybe he could have looked around. It's like, well, I don't know. I want to make sure that this is the Lord's will. So I'll look around, see how many widows are in town, and we'll find out, you know, all these things. We've got to figure this out here. He could have looked around. He could have doubted in himself. I don't know. I don't know if this is the right one. But why would he do that? Why should he do that? Why should he doubt if this is the right woman or not? God said that he would find her there. He gets to the gate of the city. He sees the woman there. Why would he doubt that it was anybody else? And, you know, sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, sometimes we pray for the Lord to do something, and then we question when we see that might be the answer, we kind of question it. He said, well, I don't know. Is this really what he's saying? I don't know. And we question God's answer. Is there really any room for faith in that kind of thinking? When we prayed for something and there's an apparent answer and we want to say, well, I don't know if that's God's answer. And you want to double think. Well, he gets to the gate of the city. He sees the woman and it's the widow woman. It's the same woman that God had prepared for him. So Elijah had the request that I read already. He called unto her, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel. He says, hey, and bring me, I pray, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she replied, as the Lord thy God liveth, you know, as surely as your God lives, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. How long has the famine been going on? We don't know necessarily. Long enough for the brook to dry up. And anyhow, she ran out of food. She's a widow woman, so she doesn't have the means as others do, perhaps. And so they're getting their last meal together. They said, me and my son, we're gonna eat it, and then we'll starve to death. That's what we're doing. That's our plan. Well, the Lord allows a miracle to sustain them. A miracle. Verse 13 says, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. Okay, go and get the sticks and prepare all of that stuff. But make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me and after make for thee and for thy son. Kind of see here steps of faith for her. I want you to make me something first and then make it for yourself. I know you don't have much, but go ahead and do this. And so you kind of see how her faith is growing through all of this. And it says here, he gives us a promise. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. You know, maybe she thought, I have nothing to lose. What's one meal, right? Okay, I'll do it. You said it was going to happen? All right. She probably doesn't have a lot of faith at this point, and we'll see later the reasoning why I say that. But anyhow, she complies. And God, guess what? God fulfills his promises. Isn't that interesting? He always does. He always does. Verse 15, it tells us, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So God fulfilled his promise. He always keeps his promises. His word is always true. Now, if you believe that God keeps his promises, if you believe that his word is true, James teaches us that we're going to act on that. You're going to do something about it. That means you're going to do what he says. That's real faith. You know, and sometimes we say, yes, God keeps his promises. We nod our heads. I can nod my head and say, right, right, so right, right. But if I don't act on it, I don't believe it. If I don't get in God's word and find out what God says and do what God says, I don't believe, really, that God is true and God's right and what he says is true and his promises are true. Only if we do what he says, that's the test, trust and obey. We sing, and that's the key. And God always keeps his promises. If you believe it, you have to do it. You have to follow through. And we'll see that with Elijah. Elijah follows through, and because of that, he is a great testimony to this widow woman, and a great testimony to us as we read his testimony in Scripture. And God is going to show his mighty power here in their life. Look at verse 17. Verse 17, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and there was no breath left in him." So those who took CPR, no breath left in him, what do you do? Check for a pulse, right? Well, he didn't have CPR. Maybe he needed rescue breaths. Maybe that's what was going on. I don't know, but his soul was gone, the Bible tells us later, that his soul had departed. So this is a big deal, okay? If you have children, you know if your child stops breathing, if he something happens, especially if you don't know what to do, you're just like, what do I do? They should die. I don't know if any of us have experienced it. Perhaps you have. But you can imagine what this widow woman, again, a widow woman, it's just her and her son, how she, what's going on in the situation. And she said unto Elijah, so she's upset, no doubt. She gets upset here. And we see that the troubles come for the widow woman and her son. You know, bad things happen, don't they happen? And they, when do they happen? They happen at the worst time, usually, right? It's like, Murphy's Law, is it right? The worst time, if anything bad could happen, it's going to happen. But, you know, the Lord knows all about that. The Lord knows all about that. And guess what? He is above all of that. And he can control all of that. And he sees all of that. And he hears what we say and knows what we think and knows all the situation. And as David says, he's my shield, my refuge, my high tower. He was my deliverer, even in those hard times. And the woman here is going to doubt the Lord's provision and doubt the Lord here. And she says in verse 18, it says, "And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God?" It's like, oh, I should have never let you come here. What have I to do with you? "Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. So she's upset and she doubts the Lord's provision. The true test of faith. When is that? When do we have the true test of faith? It's when we go through trials, right? The hard times come. Something comes where, what do we do? Hard times and questions and we don't know what's going on. And the question is, so how do you do when things go bad? That'll tell you where your faith is. Do you lose it? And it's like, oh no. Oh no. I ran out of gas. That might be a test of your stupidity. I've been there. Don't want to do that. But sometimes things out of our control, you know, the tree fell on the house. Oh, what do we do? What do we do? You get frantic. You know, we have to deal with it, yes, but we can trust the Lord. And we can trust the Lord. The test of the faith. How do you respond when trials go bad or when things go bad. Well, Elijah took the boy and carries the child to his room to pray to the Lord. And he says, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom because she was holding her son. I don't know how old he was at this time. Carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And Elijah is going to intercede for the woman. let's see, verse 20. Here it is. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. You know, he is interceding on behalf of the woman. The Bible teaches us that we should rejoice with them that rejoice. We ought to weep with them that weep. And he also says we need to try and feel like we're going through what they're going through, is kind of the idea. It talks about in the New Testament, somebody's going through a sore trial. We need to have sympathy and we need to have compassion and we need to have that sympathy with them. And Elijah here, he does, and he cries to the Lord, intercedes for the woman, and he stretched himself. Let's see what it say in verse 21. And he stretched himself upon the child three times. Maybe that's where the rescue breath came in. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. Pray to the Lord, let this child's soul come into him again. Verse 22 says, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. Wow, isn't that amazing? Guess what? God hears the voice of Sonny, hears the voice of whoever. You put your name there, my voice. If I'm right with the Lord, he hears my voice. And it's a pretty amazing thing. But God heard his voice. And he says here, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. So Elijah cried to the Lord, and the Lord complied with Elijah's request. He granted it. The Lord heard his voice, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Prayer changes things, doesn't it? It does. Perhaps it's better to say God changes things when we pray. That's really what happens. When we pray, God, oftentimes, he'll change things because we prayed. He says, you have not because you asked not. You didn't ask me about that, so I haven't done anything about it. But why don't you ask me? He says, ask, seek, you know, knock. It's going to be opened. All of these things. He's not an evil father, right? That's what Jesus says. If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, don't you think I'm going to give you good gifts? I'm not going to give you a serpent. I'm not going to give you a stone if you need bread. By the way, he gives good gifts. Sometimes what we want is not good for us. Sometimes my kids want things that are not good for them. And so I don't give it to them. But God knows how to give good gifts to us if we ask him. And so the Lord heard his prayer and he changed the physical circumstances. So the woman, she sees what happens and she's going to now trust the Lord. She's going to praise and now trust the Lord. Look at verse 23. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. To me, that's hilarious. Elijah, he's kind of seems like a bold guy, maybe abrupt and just short to the point. So she's having her child just die. He takes him up there. He prays him to the Lord. Comes back down and says, see, your son lives. Here he is. Just brings him down. Here he is. And anyhow, so the woman said to Elijah, she says, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Wow. So her proclamation, now I know you're a man of God. Well, why not? Before, when there was the oil and the bread, we still had that for many days. Well, she says, now I know. It wasn't back then, it was now. And now I know that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. What you were saying before, I know. I know what you were saying is true. It's interesting. God answered Elijah's prayer, and that was evidence to the woman, evidence enough that that he was a man of God. By the way, I remembered when Pastor was saying this morning. This is another place where he talks about the man of God answers the prayer. By this I know that you are a man of God. The evidence here that he was a man of God was that God answered his prayer. And I think about this. How does my life stack up to what I say I believe? You know, I say I'm a Christian. I say I believe God answers prayer. I say that the Bible is true. I say that God is alive. I say that God's real. I say that we ought to live for the Lord. I say we ought to do this and that. And we all say, yes, yes, amen, amen. You know, how does my life measure up to what I say? Do I practice what I preach? You know, if people lived with me, as Elijah lived with this widow woman and her son, and they got to see how he lived, if people lived with you or with me, would they see the Lord work in your life? Would they see it and would it cause them to say, you know, you're the real deal. You're a real Christian. You know, they live with you. They know how you live and they say, you're a real Christian. You are a man or you're a woman of God. God's hand is on you, even if they're not saved. Would somebody be able to do that from your life? Or would they just say, oh, you're a good guy, you're a nice person, or whatever? Or would they say, wow, you're a real Christian. You actually do what you say you do. That's convicting to me, because I don't always live that way. But of Elijah, apparently, his testimony was, she saw him, and he practiced what he preached. And she says, well, now I know you are the man of God. And what you said earlier, what you say about the Lord, it's true. You know, God's hand's not always visible. We don't always see God work, but the results often are, right? We see the results. And if God's working in your life, you can't hide that. You can't hide it. You can't put your light under a bushel. People might not see you have your devotions, but they will see the results of it, right? They won't see you when you pray. They might not see you when you're spending your quiet time, but the Bible says if you spend your time alone in your closet, Jesus says, he'll reward you openly. The results of God's work in your life will be visible, and that was true in Elijah's life. So let's think about everything we just talked about. Talking about Elijah. And Elijah, a bold man, but there's so much behind the scenes that we don't see. We just see, he's big. Big, buff, and brave, and he's willing to go to Ahab and say, it's not going to rain 3 years. And he just struts around like that. It kind of seems that way sometimes. He's so bold and just says it. This is the way it is. But there's so much behind Elijah. He's praying to the Lord earnestly, it says. He's a man who walked with God. He says, before whom I stand, is what he said. The Lord, before whom I stand. And he obeys when God says, I want you to go here. I want you to go by the brook Cherith. I want you to be fed by the ravens. He obeys. He enjoys the benefits of faith because he obeyed. And then when the time should come to move, he waited on the Lord. And the Lord says, okay, it's time to go. I want you to go to Zarephath in Zidon. And he goes. He finds the woman. He doesn't doubt. He just says, this is the woman. And this is what God has provided. And he goes and he talks to the woman. And the Lord works it all out. And then even when problems come up, he still has faith, and the Lord is able to help him through the problem here. Even though the woman doubts the provision of the Lord, Elijah cries to the Lord. The Lord hears his prayer. And then you see the testimony that Elijah has for this woman in Zidon. We don't know what happened in Zidon. Perhaps more people heard the woman's testimony. Perhaps more got around. We don't know what happened. It was apparent that in Israel, not many people wanted to hear what Elijah had to say. And perhaps God was giving them time to think about it. 3 years of famine, 3.5 years, really, of famine. Maybe they'll cry unto the Lord. Maybe they'll seek me. And Elijah would go back and talk to them again, especially to Ahab. And Ahab was a hard heart. But perhaps God was doing so much. You see how perhaps he's building Elijah's faith. He's building this woman's faith. And he's showing his mighty power. He is doing so much in a dark day, wicked day. Not a whole lot of good going on, but God is still working. And, you know, we might say today is a dark day, not a whole lot of good going on. But God can do a lot, even in a dark day. Even when things aren't going very well in America, perhaps, we might say. God can do a lot. and he's willing to, if we are ready vessels, clean vessels, wanting to serve him, you know, they that seek him must believe that I am, that he is, it says, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If we seek him, he will be found, and he will enable us, and he will use us. He's searching for somebody to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge. There are things to do in the church and as a part of the church, but also individually with our testimonies and the people we meet. And we need to be active. And Elijah was such a testimony to this. Elijah the Tishbite. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the story that you've shown us, how you provide for Elijah as a testimony of how you can provide for us and how good you are. And Lord, we love you and we trust you. Help us to be faithful. Help us to have a testimony pleasing in your sight and that would draw others to yourself. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.